Hello and welcome to season 3 of the Atlanta Opera's Blink Opera podcast. My name is Deanna Braywick. I'm a soprano, and I'll be performing the role of Cunegonda in the Atlanta Opera's upcoming production of Leonard Bernstein's comic operetta, Candide. Candide was actually originally conceived by American playwright Lillian Hellman as a play with incidental music based on the 1759 novella of the same name by French philosopher Voltaire. However, after some convincing from Bernstein, Hellman assumed the role of librettist as the two created this comic operetta. Candide opened in 1956 and was quickly labeled a box office disaster. Critics pointed to a disconnect between Bernstein's lighthearted lyricism and Herman's more serious libretto, and as a result, the production only ran for 2 months. Where Candide fell short in the Opera House, it found itself revived on Broadway under the direction of theater director and producer Harold Prince. Hellman refused to allow her libretto to be involved in this shift to the musical theater world. So Prince commissioned British novelist Hugh Wheeler to write a brand new book. This refreshed and reimagined Candide premiered in 1973 to much greater acclaim and eventually returned to the opera world, where it continues to be a favorite of opera companies to this day. So, as Cunegonda, I have the pleasure of singing one of the big hits and favorites of the piece, Glitter and Be Gay. This is such a fun piece to play with because there is such a wide range of colors, emotions, and voices that I get to bring to the character and the aria. The role spans over 2.5 octaves, allowing me to utilize the entirety of my vocal range. You'll hear everything from low, chested notes to sweetly sung, more floaty notes to fast, furious, and powerful color to our and high notes. This piece is a technical and emotional tour de force. I found that the way to bring this to life is to lean into the dramatic side of it, which is complicated and nuanced, and at its core is so incredibly relatable. Cunegonda is a woman who is trying to deal with change, and through the course of this aria, she grieves, goes into denial, rages, reframes her story in an attempt to cope, experiences shock, and finds acceptance and even delights in the benefits of this new life, despite her loss. It's a very human, real, and messy way of dealing with a shift in life that was forced upon her. And I think that at some point in our lives, we've all been there and can relate. Now, let's dive into the story of Candide.
Let us review lesson 11.
Paragraph 2, axiom of 7.
Once one dismisses the rest of all possible worlds, one finds that this is the best of all possible worlds.
Once one dismisses the rest of all possible worlds, one finds that this is the best of all possible worlds.
One. In the country of Westphalia, Candide is about to be married to the lovely Cunegonde. Dr. Pangloss, Candide's teacher, expounds his famous philosophy to the effect that all is for the best. The happy couple sing their marriage duet, and the ceremony is about to take place when war breaks out between Westphalia and Hesse. Westphalia is destroyed, and Cunegonde is seemingly killed. Candide takes comfort in the Panglossian doctrine and sets out on his journeys. In the public square of Lisbon, the infant Casmira, a deranged mystic in the caravan of an Arab conjurer, predicts dire happenings, leaving the public in terror. Candide discovers Pangloss, who has contracted syphilis, yet remains optimistic. The Inquisition appears in the persons of two ancient inquisitors and their lawyer, and many citizens are tried and sentenced to hang, including Candide and Dr. Pangloss. Suddenly, an earthquake occurs, killing Dr. Pangloss, and Candide barely escapes. Candide, faced with the loss of both Cunegonde and Dr. Pangloss, starts out for Paris. He is unable to reconcile Dr. Pangloss's ideas with the bitter events that have occurred, but concludes that the fault must lie within himself rather than in the philosophy of optimism. Cunegonde turns up alive in Paris, a prostitute in a house shared by an archbishop and a rabbi. A party is in progress. Urged by the old lady who serves as her governess, Cunegonde arrays herself in her jewels. Candide stumbles into the scene and is amazed to find Cunegonde still alive. In a duel, he kills both the archbishop and the rabbi and flees with Cunegonde, accompanied by the old lady. They fall in with a band of devout pilgrims on their way to the New World and sail with them. Arriving in Buenos Aires, the group is brought to the governor's palace, where all except Cunegonde and the old lady are immediately enslaved. A street cleaner appears in the person of the pessimistic Martin, warning Candide of the future. Candide and Maximilian are joyfully reunited, but when Candide states his intention to marry Cunegonde, Maximilian starts to strike him with a glove. Candide starts to strike him back, but before he actually does, Maximilian drops, apparently dead. The governor serenades Cunegonde, and she, abetted by the old lady, agrees to live in the palace. The old lady urges Candide to flee, but Candide, fired by reports of El Dorado from Martin, sets off to seek his fortune, planning to return for Cunegonde later.
Jungle fountain high up in a tree. Then down a primrose mountain, across a seashell sea.
In the heat of Buenos Aires, Cunegonde, the old lady, and the governor display their fraying nerves. So the governor resolves to get rid of the tiresome ladies. Candide returns from El Dorado, his pockets full of gold, and searches for Cunegonde. The governor, however, has had both Cunegonde and the old lady tied up in sacks and carried to a boat in the harbor. He tells Candide that the women have sailed for Europe. And Candide eagerly purchases a leaky ship from the governor and dashes off. As the governor and his suite watch from his terrace, the ship with Candide and Martin casts off and almost immediately sinks. Candide and Martin have been rescued from the ship and are floating about the ocean on a raft. Martin is devoured by a shark, but Dr. Pangloss miraculously reappears. Candide is overjoyed to find his old teacher, and Pangloss sets about repairing the damage done to his philosophy by Candide's experiences. In a luxurious palazzo of Venice, Cunegonde turns up as a scrubwoman, and the old lady as a woman of fashion, both working as shills for Ferrone, the owner of a gambling hall. Candide and Dr. Pangloss, both wearing masks, appear and are caught up by the merriment, the wine, and the gambling. Candide is accosted by a masked Cunegonde and old lady who try to steal his remaining gold, but recognizes Cunegonde when her mask falls off. His last hopes and dreams shattered, he drops his money at her feet and leaves. Cunegonde and the old lady are fired by Ferrone, and Pangloss is now penniless, having been completely swindled out of all his money. With Candide now completely disillusioned, he and Pangloss return to the ruined Westphalia. Cunegonde, Maximilian, and the old lady appear, and within them a spark of optimism still flickers. Candide, however, has had enough of the foolish Panglossian ideal and tells them all that the only way to live is to try to make some sense of life.
We'll build our house and chop our wood and make a garden grow and make our garden
I'm soprano Deanna Braywick. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Blink Opera from the Atlanta Opera Podcast. If you enjoyed learning more about Candide, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts. It's a great way for more people like you to find out about our content. And don't forget to follow the Atlanta Opera Podcast for more great episodes.